with IPOS on air. The call number is 844-967-2789, and we're coming in with Danielle Krim's music. We are here also with Eileen and Amy from March for Our Lives, and I did want to kind of pick up the conversation where we left off in a way with Wisconsin regulation, and what exactly are you hoping for in terms of Wisconsin, and what are you going to be marching for?
Yeah, so here in Wisconsin, we're going to be marching on June 11th at 3 p.m. at the Wisconsin State Capitol. So we have one big demand that comes from national in terms of legislation that we'll be, you know, marching for, and that is universal background checks. So we're demanding that Senator Schumer calls a vote on universal background checks in the Senate, and that senators vote yes so this piece of legislation can get through and onto the president's desk. So that's kind of our like legislative demand here in Wisconsin and at our march, and that's the legislative demand that's going to likely carry through to all of the marches across the country on June 11th. And then along with that, we also just in general, obviously, we're marching for gun violence prevention. We're marching to highlight the importance of, again, as we've been talking about, intersectional action, of addressing those root causes of gun violence, again, as we've mentioned. And also voting. That's super important. That's something that we really try to emphasize at March for Our Lives, getting out to the polls. We have the midterms coming up this fall. So that's another huge thing.
You mentioned the background checks. Do you see that as kind of a starting point for more action, or is that kind of what you consider to be kind of like your larger action that you're working towards?
Yeah, definitely. So that's definitely a starting point. We would love to see more legislation of all kinds, you know, again, pulling that intersectionality. I can't say it enough. But that is... The universal background checks, it is a piece of legislation. It passed the House in 2021, and it's been in the Senate for over a year. So it hopefully is, and it feels like an attainable thing to be able to pass that through the Senate so it can be, you know, signed into law. But that's just our starting point. You know, we would love to see all kinds of action from our politicians and, mm-hmm. of course, from our community members and our community organizers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, echoing that, it's really based on this It Ends With Us, like, programming through March for Our Lives. So I personally believe that, you know, instituting, like, background checks is, like, the bare minimum, the starting of, you know, creating public safety, especially around gun control and gun violence prevention. So, you know, this idea of no more, not one more, you know, minimizing the need for school shooting drills, you know, not having to hear about mass shootings, not only in schools, but also in public spaces, really starts with that. But then it also goes into, again, like the healthcare agenda. It goes into, you know, uplifting and supporting LGBTQIA plus youth. It goes into, you know, mobilizing youth voters and continuing advocacy in an anti-racist and socially just like manner. So it really does span in so many directions, the work that March for Our Lives, the Wisconsin chapter, the national work will go into, you know, especially hopefully when there is, you know, work and push forward with the gun control. Hopefully, you know, the mobilization we do have can just keep uplifting socially just messaging and legislation.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I want to highlight that and emphasize that so much. Like, gun control alone will not end gun violence. It's uplifting those voices. It's protecting those communities. It's like changing this mentality in America that we need guns. It's making America a place where people don't feel like they need guns to protect themselves. And that's so much more than just gun control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely see this point in which, you know, legal gun sales, legal, you know, interactions with guns are regulated and maintained well enough where there aren't people who are seeking loopholes for gun ownership, right? Mm-hmm. People who aren't going through, you know, illegal channels to obtain guns. And when they are, there is the proper, like, action taken by those in our legislative and, you know, upholding those laws so that those things are happening less often.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but I agree with that so much. And also kind of pulling in, like, even, like, there are so many different types of gun violence. And I, you know, this conversation and a lot of conversations in the news recently, we've been talking about mass shootings. But there's so much more. And I think another big thing at March for Our Lives that we talk about as a form of gun violence is police violence. So, you know, addressing that as, you know, just as dangerous and important to change and reform as mass shootings.
Absolutely.
For Wisconsin, what do you see is on the ballot for August 9th and the midterms in terms of, like, Wisconsin?
Yeah, so wait, can you, like, clarify that question?
Yeah, sorry. In terms of, like, who, I guess, is being elected locally, how do you see that affecting, like, the overall, like, legislature? And also, I know that you are a nonpartisan organization, but how do you see elections kind of?
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, we are a nonpartisan organization. We don't support any political candidates. But we always just emphasize people, we want to turn out those voters. We want to get people to vote people in power who are going to protect us, who are going to fight for gun violence prevention legislation, and who are going to fight for our communities in all those aspects. And, you know, we have political candidates in Wisconsin who are taking money from the NRA, and obviously we don't want that because we can't have NRA-backed politicians and politicians who are aligning themselves with the gun lobby. So that's a huge thing on this upcoming ballot, is just making sure that people are registered to vote, people who don't normally turn up to the polls. That's young people, black and brown communities who face barriers with voting. I think I already said young people, but all of those communities, their votes are so important, and we need to elect candidates who are going to fight for us.
Yeah, I can echo all those sentiments. I think it's really hard to put in, like, a personal take on, you know, the elections coming up and, you know, everything like that. But I would emphasize this, you know, voter registration opportunity. March for Our Lives has done a lot of voter registration. They did a huge tour after the 2018 march to register over 50,000 folks nationally. So it's really coming down to, you know, getting folks who may not know they're eligible to vote registered, making sure they know their polling place, making sure they know when they need to register by, when they need to access, you know, absentee ballots, if they need transportation, how they obtain that, and also, you know, getting youth registered to vote as soon as they are eligible is a huge thing for March for Our Lives, especially since a lot of our active participants in our chapters, especially in Wisconsin, are so young and so passionate, making sure that they're also able to exercise their right to vote.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all young people up to the national coordinators. So that's really cool to see, and we put so much of an emphasis on young people voting and marginalized voices voting and turning up to those polls. Like, as Abby mentioned, in 2018, March for Our Lives, we put on this big campaign to register voters, and I don't know the statistic, I mean, but that those midterm elections, it was the highest youth voter turnout, which is really cool to see, and it's all that community organizing at its finest. So,
yeah, for sure. How do you see kind of, like, young people viewing these mass shootings? Do you think there's kind of, like, a desensitization, or, like, do you see that people really do, like, I guess growing up with mass shootings, how does that?
Yeah, I think what's alarming to me, so even outside of my high school education, my school implemented these code red drills, right? So mass shooting drills. They invested in technology that would, you know, trigger these drills, trigger these silent alarms, and we would have to practice mass shooting drills. And it was happening at a rate of like twice a week because the triggers were being triggered accidentally by teachers. So there's this like fear that I still have from that experience. There was always a present fear because it's such a present threat in schools right now. But there's also like political apathy. There's also, you know, this desensitization to violence and like gun glorification in this nation that is also like balanced on top of that fear, right? So people are usually like at those two extremes, right? They think there's no action, that, you know, folks are just glorifying guns and really caught up in that sense of like power and like not having power. Or there's like a really high intense sense of fear or sense of like call to action. And of course, we don't want folks who engage with March for Our Lives or hear this messaging to live in that like space of fear. But we are intensely interested in gaining like political momentum, gaining momentum in the sense that like this has a solution. We are continuously echoing this idea that we are like opportunity for public safety. There is legislative change that can happen. There is change in things as simple as like school practices that can happen if you put yourself into that momentum, right? So March for Our Lives really thinks that there this practice that we have is, you know, a solution at the end of the tunnel. So hopefully not as much with that sense of like helplessness nowadays.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's hopeful to see people coming together in this sense, as we saw after Parkland, as we're seeing now, people mobilizing, people getting interested in this work. And I just, my biggest hope is that that momentum stays with us and that that momentum will carry into actual change. And also echoing what Abby was saying in your question, going back to that, like we, young people, like my generation, like there's this terminology that I've heard so many times, is like generation lockdown. Like we've grown up with these lockdown drills, these code red drills, like it's become like a normal part of life, which it shouldn't have to be. And like it hasn't always been that way. So that just really speaks to, you know, the climate that young people are growing up in. And like, especially as a student in like the Madison School District, there are so many gun incidents like at schools. And like, I'll just go and like be talking with my friends like from other schools or even at our school. And like, they'll just like mention that it happened one day, like, oh, someone had a gun at school or something like that. And like, it's almost not even surprising, which is really sad to say. But it's like, oh, yeah, like that's just how it is. And that's how it is all over the country. And it shouldn't have to be like that.
In terms of this march on June 11th, how did you organize this march within Madison and who is involved?
National, like March for Our Lives National, they put a messaging for a call. They were like, we're going to have a call. And then they announced to all their supporters and organizers that they were going to be doing another March for Our Lives, which was what happened in 2018. And so, yeah, I guess that just kind of started it. Like, I just texted all of my friends that I know who are involved in March for Our Lives, and they were like, yeah, let's do this. Like, it was, like, the day of, it was, I think, a week ago, maybe a week and a day ago. And we just started right away. And I connected with Abby over like just a messaging app that we had been using for March for Our Lives. And like, we just wasted no time. We started organizing right away, started getting the message out.
Yeah, I have so much appreciation for the organizing team that we've put together. It is weird being the oldest on the team. So everybody else is still in high school for my team, which is mm-hmm. just so admirable as they finish up finals and everything like that. Yeah. But I also feel very fortunate to have like found contact with them and to have meshed so well with them. So it's, you know, it's easy to assign roles as in like titles and like ownership over certain tasks and delegations, but we've been so cooperative with each other that so much work has just been happening at such a fast pace in such a collaborative space. So mm-hmm. it's become a really easy organization with us all. And it really is about like a team of six. You know, we're all still in school. We're all student youth led.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of backing in regards to the chapter itself, but it's been a lot of like, a lot of late nights, a lot of messaging, a lot of like logistics that just aren't set in groundwork, especially mm-hmm. here for our chapter. So it's really great to kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel now. We're 6 days out from June 11th. And we've just been, you know, pushing forward, finding our own answers as we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like, it is hard work, but this, like, I just have so many thanks for this team and for finding them and for just how incredibly much work they have put into this already. And all of the organizers across the country, like, being in that Slack channel and, like, seeing all of the messages, and everyone is just working so, so hard. So just a shout out to our team here in Madison. There's an amazing team in Milwaukee. If you're in the Milwaukee area, there'll be a march. And then all of the organizers across the country, the national organizers who have been putting in just literally the longest days to get this all up and running. So
mm-hmm.
it gives me hope, and it inspires me to see all of this community organizing come together.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I haven't been a part of many protests, but I have kind of with like climate strikes, and just like the momentum and the energy from that is just really interesting to see too, with this movement as well.
Yeah.
However, I do know that I think with those protests as well, there is this kind of like feeling that it could become violent. Do you feel like that's something that's a threat to this protest or this march?
Well, I will say it is the state capital, so we are in Madison. It's interesting to be doing a march that, one, is not like political leaning mm-hmm. or, you know, partisan in that sense. And then it is also not like on a topic of race. So in the past, yeah. especially down State Street by the Capitol, there have been so many protests led by BIPOC individuals that were on race. And that's when it tends to be a little bit more threatening in regards to like pushback. So there is a sense that like it's not necessarily about the biggest hot topic. But of course, we are also still in a very like diverse region of like Wisconsin, right? So you never know who may choose to commute in. But we are currently in contact with a lot of different organizers in Madison, really paying homage to the folks who have laid the groundwork for protest work and for uplifting these messages. And they've given us so much insight on securing like safety, on reducing police impact in our route, and mm-hmm. making sure that everybody feels safe, not just, you know, the white folks that are a part of our march, but also like the BIPOC and queer folks that are a part of our march, right? Mm-hmm. Uplifting trans voices or folks who may have been impacted by gun violence, making sure they feel safe, making sure that disability is assessed, that folks are able to gain access to protesting and marching with us. So that's where our priority lies right now. We're really lucky that we don't have to worry too much, but that's not to say we don't have to worry at all. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And that protest is, how can we kind of contact you and find you?
Yeah, so we will be marching on June 11th at 3 p.m. at the Wisconsin State Capitol. That'll be on the corner that's facing State Street. We'll go down State Street, and we'll have speakers, we'll have chants, we'll have singing. It's going to be great. So anyone's welcome to come join us, come march with us for gun violence prevention. That's June 11th at 3 p.m. We really hope to see you out there. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much to both of you. And I'm so excited to see what else that you're going to do.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
This was Noemi, and that's the Socks. Good night.
clouds.